All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. Hey, come on. Let's give God our very best, would you? I think you can do better than that. I really do. Come on. Let's give God some praise. Woo! Yeah, there you go. There you go. There you go. We just set the atmosphere. Welcome to all of you in the room and everybody tuning in online, whether you are in Palm Coast, maybe South Carolina or Minnesota, just to name a few. It's really, really good to have you guys. Welcome to church. How's everybody feeling today? Good, good, good. Hopefully you're kind of coming out of that lazy weekend where you ate a little too much and you spent time with some quality people. Come on, I hope that you got the opportunity to really spend some quality time with some quality people. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? I did. I really did. I had the first Thanksgiving of my life that I didn't overeat. I'm so proud of myself. I was very disciplined. I was very intentional. I ate good, but I ate a very normal amount of food. One time I didn't eat breakfast and I didn't eat dinner. I just ate one plate at Thanksgiving lunch. I'm very proud of myself. Thank you, everybody. I don't know why I took the time to share that. That's my Thanksgiving Day review. It was wonderful. Hey, listen, I'm very, very excited about today. I'm excited that you are here. I'm excited that you're tuning in online. I'm excited that we're going to kind of close out this incredible series that we've been in. But here's, I'm going to bait you a little bit. Can I do that? We're going to actually close a series out today with a topic that I'm particularly excited about. And then I'm going to start next month's series about joy with part two of today's message. Does that sound good to you? So we're going to end a series, but I'm only going to give you part one of a message today. But before I do, before we get into it, if you'll bear with me just a moment, I want to make a very quick announcement. Last week I announced this, and in a review that we did, I apparently didn't do the best of jobs. And so I'm gonna do a better job this time, okay? Because what I want to talk to you guys about very quickly is what we call an impact offering that's coming on December the 12th. Now, I tell you this far in advance because I want you to just prayerfully and conversationally decide how you can partner and what you would give into this offering. Now, we do this annually. We've done it in the last several years. And what we do on this particular day is we take 100% of what is given on that day and we just give it away. We go bless other people. Now, here's where I'm going to improve, because apparently last week it may have sounded like we just arbitrarily just randomly walk down the street and give people money. That's not what we do. We actually are very strategic. And so we partner with organizations and with nonprofits. We have missions that we support, and we have vetted out people that we absolutely just believe in and we just bless. So what we do is we'll just bless them with just maybe a one-time larger gift or something like that. Now, my caveat is this, that at Church on the Rock, we simply do what God says. So if God said, just find random people on the street and give them something and then tell them that Jesus loves them, I'm just here to tell you, that's what we finna do. Amen, everybody? Because we always have a plan, but we always allow God to change our plan. And so I just want you to know what's coming. And just briefly, I just want you to kind of see it coming. And here's what I always ask of our church. My ask is this, that 100% of us participate. Just all of us. That's all. That's all I'm asking for. And the reason that we tell you so far in advance is because the Bible's very clear that we should never give under compulsion or like pressure. And that is not our heart here at Church on the Rock. But the Bible says that God loves when we give cheerfully. And so I would just, you pray about it. You let God lead you. The amount is not important. God can do anything. Amen. God can take a small gift and do a miracle with it, like he did with some fish. And some bread when he fed over 5,000 people with one little meal. God can do that with your gift. And so I'm just asking you to participate. Let's go be a blessing in people's lives. Does that sound good, everybody? All right, cool. All right, very good. Now, I want to get right into today's topic. Is that okay? So we've been in this series and we've been calling it ROI, Return on Investment. And we've been talking about things that we have to steward. We are called by God to be good stewards. Like, for example, we're called by God to steward our money. So we were just talking about giving on the 12th. So we're called by God to steward our money. We talked about that. We talked about stewarding our talent. We talked about stewarding our time, right? And this is the verse that sort of like gotten this whole thing going for me. I read this a few months ago, and it was the birth of the idea of this series. I feel like God gave it to me. The Bible says in Proverbs that a wise person saves for the future, but the foolish person, what do? They just spend everything. All that they have, they just spend it. And so we've been talking about that to get the best return on our investment, whether it be with our finances or our time or our talent or whatever it is, when it comes to those things, our responsibility is to steward them, because all of those things have limitations. Wouldn't you agree? And every week, I've said none of us have unlimited amounts of money. None of us. None of us have unlimited amounts of time. None of us. None of us, sadly, have unlimited amounts of talent. Come on, I know some of us think so, but all of us have a capacity, a limitation on all of these things. And because of that reality, we are called to be good stewards. I've got to make the most of it. So I want to get the best out of what I've been given. Therefore, I've been called by God to be a good steward. Now today, I am like, I don't even think you understand how excited I am about this one. This is what I want to talk to you about today is your thoughts. Like what we think and the things that go on in our minds. Now, here's what I want to say today, okay, is that I want to submit to you today that unlike our money, unlike our time, unlike our talent, the stewardship principle of our thoughts is not about capacity, it's about deception. Let me explain. Can I? I'm just going to get deeper all day. I've been reading all kind of books this year. I'm very big about mindset. This is an important topic and an important thing for me. And one of the books that I read earlier this year was actually a business book. But one of the things that is heavily emphasized within the book is our mind. And what the author describes our mind to be is the most powerful computer on earth. And what the author will repetitively just underlined in every chapter and in every segment of this book was that too oftentimes we create limitations on what we can do with the most powerful computer on earth. And so what he teaches is this: don't create limitations or boundaries on what your mind can do. Stop shutting down the most powerful computer on earth. Let that thing work for you. And that's what I want to talk about today. Okay, you guys ready?
Yes.
I don't have another topic. I don't. Like, this is it. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, very good. Listen, if you're a note taker, by the way, right in the seat backs in front of you, you can take notes. Every scripture that'll be on the screen is on that paper. If you're in the front row, it is under your chair. And if you're online, the link is in the description. Here we go. We're going to get started. We're going to talk about our thoughts. And the Bible says this in Romans 12:2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewing of my mind. My mind has to always be changing, to be renewed. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God has a perfect will for your life. Say amen right there. It's very, very true. But in order for me to know what God wants for me, it's important that I have my mind continually renewed. Let me say it this way, that it always needs to be worked on.
Amen.
Like the moment that you think you've arrived, you're probably the most deceived. And I mean that factually. I'm not even trying to be funny. Like, that's a problem. So if you think you've just mastered it, you know, and even in a field, even in one area, that probably isn't very healthy, because there's this constant process that has to go on in the most powerful computer in the world, our minds. And the Bible tells us that it has to constantly be renewed. I always have to renew it and refresh it and think about what I think about and change the way I'm thinking in order for me to find God's perfect plan, his perfect will, and the purpose he has for me. Now, if you'll just bear with me, I'm going to take us through some pretty, whatever, just follow along. Here we go. I want to show you the Greek word, all right? All the New Testament of the Bible, so from Matthew to Revelation is the New Testament of the Bible. It was all originally written in Greek, and there's this word, this Greek word for repent, and it is the word metanoia, okay? Metanoia, which just translates literally to change the way you think. So very, very quickly, because I don't have time to dig deep here, all the Old Testament, when the word repentance is discussed, it means to change your behavior. That's what it means. So you have to change what you're doing. But then there becomes this powerful transition in the New Testament because of the blood of Jesus, where now repentance is not exactly like, hey, stop doing bad stuff. It's actually Stop thinking the way you've been thinking. So many of us are working really, really hard on behavioral correction, but we're not spending enough time on mental change. And the power of the blood of Jesus is that the transformative work that he does in our spirits, when we invite him into our lives and the Holy Spirit of God takes up his residency within us, is that now I have the greatest asset in the world to be changing how I think. I can actually experience metanoia. I can be renewed in my mind and walk in God's perfect will for me. And so today, I don't want you to think about repentance in the way of like, I keep doing all this bad stuff and I got to change. I want you to start thinking about just your mindset. Because I truly believe that most of us, if not 100% of us in this room, live with some form of deception. And so for me to steward my thinking, it's not because I have limitations. Listen to me, I think you're brilliant. I think you're smart. I actually think you could probably achieve way more than you might think you can achieve. And I'm going to show you exactly why I believe that here in just a second. But the stewardship thing that I have to do as a follower of Christ is have to constantly have my mind renewed. I've got to continually experience metanoia. I've got to change the way I think. Because the fact of the matter is, when I'm in Christ Jesus, the limitations are limitless. And so my stewardship responsibility, it's not a capacity thing, because I know some of you guys are like, I'm just not very smart. Well, we need to change, right? Like, and listen, we need to change how we think about ourselves. And I'm probably pretty good at some self-deprecation. I'm actually pretty hard on myself, but I'm learning how to have some metanoia in my mind. I need to have my mind aligned with Christ Jesus, because I would like to fulfill all that he sees the potential in me to fulfill. Amen. So let's dig into the scripture. Let's just see what the Bible says. And this is why I believe that you're smart and like you have capacity probably beyond what you think, is because of what the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians, those who are spiritual can evaluate what? What can they evaluate? All things, like everything. And then it goes on to say, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. Just super, I'm not digging into this very quickly. That sounds confusing. Here's what it's basically saying, all right? That people outside of Christ Jesus, they don't get it. Like, they don't get it the way that we are in alignment with the thinking of the Creator and the design of our Savior, and people outside of that, they can't get us in alignment. Only Jesus can do that. That's just a brief explanation. I'm not digging there today. You good? Let's move on. Verse 16, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? That's a good question. Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things. Why? Why? Because we, as followers of Jesus, have the mind of Christ. Just let that settle in, would you? Do you follow Jesus today? If the answer is yes, you have the mind of Christ. Amen. Do you follow Jesus today? If the answer is no, you may have the mind of Christ. It's available to everybody. For God so loved the world, just everybody, that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. Like, it's available for you. It's available for you. And so with this in mind, we're going to move into something. I keep doing this. I want to promote something today. All right. And I don't get like no kickback for Pastor Josh for making this promotion here. But this book, it's called Winning the War on Your Mind. If you're interested in it, just grab your phone, take a picture of the screen, write the title down. This was written by one of my heroes in the faith. He pastors a very influential church in our world today. His name is Craig Groeschel. Now, just really fast, I'm gonna give you the backdrop that Pastor Craig, because he's a hero in the faith to me, and I listen to his podcast. I like to listen to him preach. Like, if he's talking, I like listening. How about that? And he has authored several books, of which I've read probably most of them. I don't know if I've read them all, but I've read a lot of them. And so I'm at this point with him in terms of just leadership and you know, mentorship. I mean, we don't know each other, right? But like, I just see him as a mentor, and he definitely influences my life and speaks into me in powerful ways. And so when he puts out a book, I just, by default, I just read it. That's just where I am now. I'm like, fine, Pastor Craig put out a book, I'll just pick it up and read it. And so this year he put out this book, Winning the War on Your Mind, and this is my story about it. I picked it up to read it simply because he authored it. Like, his name has enough influence to me that I'm like, fine, I'll read it. And here's what I want to say to you. It was way, way better than I thought it would be. I think maybe I just came into it, that mindset, okay, cool, Pastor Craig, I think you're cool. I like you. You know what I mean? Your church is awesome. You're a great leader. I think you're a pure-hearted guy before God. You pastor well. You wrote a book. I'm going to read it. And I'm telling you right now, this has been the most recommended book this year for me. I have been telling everybody about it because of how it just worked super hard on me about mindset. Now, what I'm about to say isn't going to communicate to our whole church, but it'll communicate to some of our church. But if you have been a part of a Freedom in Christ life group at Church on the Rock, and you're familiar with a stronghold buster, come on, say something if you know what I'm talking about. Come on. All right. So you're familiar with that. Like, that is this book. It is awesome. It is powerful. And so in this book, Pastor Craig makes this quote, and he says, our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And so many of us have these, we'll call them behavioral things that we would like changed. We all have them. All of us have something in our lives that it's like we want it to change. It's just, it's hard, or it's not. And so too often we spend our energy, our focus, and our attention on the behavior and not the mind. When the scripture tell us that my mind needs to be renewed, something here needs to change. And so today we're going to dig into stewarding these thoughts because our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. If I change what I think, I will change what I do. Okay, so I put this in my own words, okay? Write this down if you're a note taker. Is that how I think determines who I become. Amen. So for me, as a good steward of my mind and a good steward of the thoughts that I'm thinking, how I think will in fact determine who I become. Let me give you a couple of quick examples. If you're the type of person that says things like, well, my daddy had a bad attitude, and his daddy had a bad attitude, and I just have a bad attitude. Well, that's now what you think. That's the belief that you have bought into, that because the men ahead of you had a certain deficiency in their life, that you must have that same deficiency in your life. And because you have begun to say that and you begin to think that, you have shut down the most powerful computer in the world. You are not stewarding your thoughts. You're living in deception. And so the reason that you have a bad temper and the reason that you have a bad attitude is because you've stopped the renewal of your mind. And so what we're going to do today is I'm going to give you three things today to help us steward our minds. Like how am I going to do that? Let me go a little bit deeper here. Is I'm at that perfect age, like right now. So I'm 38, and I'm at that perfect age where my peers are beginning to say things like, for example, they'll say things like, "Well, Josh, I guess we're just getting old." They'll say this. Now it happens to me all the time, and everybody that used to be in their 30s is laughing because like, "You guys are idiots." That's what you're thinking. And so my friends, some of them, they will say things like, well, I guess we're just getting old, and you know, like our kids are growing up. Oh my gosh, man, my daughter got married. I'm feeling old now. And I'm telling you right now, I just tell them, you speak for yourself. I'm not getting old. No, because my mind, I have chosen not to buy into deception. You know what I say? I'm in my prime. My best days are right now. I'm intentional even to, I surround myself with people older than me that are healthy, high achieving, that are sharp, and I do it on purpose because it builds into me a way of thinking. And what it does for me is I've got a friend who on his 60th birthday jumped out of an airplane. On his 65th birthday, did I say birthday or anniversary? Birthday. On his 65th birthday, he ran, I'm pretty sure it was a half marathon in Atlanta in the summer, and the temperature was in three digits. for his 70th birthday. He's going to Spain to run with the bulls. I'm not joking at all. I spend time with him. I get around him. And I do that on purpose because I like how he thinks. Because I don't want to be the guy that creates a limitation on myself. Guess I'm getting old. My daughter's married now. No. I just started early. That just means I can run real fast with them. That means when grandkids eventually come after I'm 40 in the name of Jesus, then I can have the energy to like really do some great things, right? I still believe my best days are ahead of me. I'm only saying this to say that I have begun to steward the most powerful computer in the world, and I choose to say, to think, and to believe certain things, and I choose to refute, push back, and reject other things. And some of you in this room, while mental issues, depression, and all these are at all-time highs historically, I believe the problem is because we walk in deception. And so today we're going to become better stewards of our minds. Now, just to prove this point, okay, that how I think determines who I become, I just want you to see the scripture that as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Like, I'm telling you, it matters. It matters. So when you say things like, I'll never lose this weight. No. I'm just not a morning person. I just don't have the energy. I'm just not good with words. I don't like crowds. Like, I don't know what it is. I just want to say that as we think in our hearts, that's who we are. That's who we are. So, please understand, let me just throw something in here. Like, people have natural aptitudes and personalities. So I'm not trying to say if you don't like being in crowds, you have a problem. What I'm trying to say is, like, what lies are we believing? Let's get into it. Come on, let's talk about how to steward our minds. I got three things for you this morning. These are practices that I'm trying to live out every day on my own. Number one is this, that we're gonna take an inventory of our thoughts. Take inventory. Let me say it this way. We need to think about what we think about. Like what is actually going on? So what thoughts do I have that are good? Awesome. And maybe you create a list. What thoughts do I have that are detrimental, that aren't true? What am I believing about me that is deception? What is it? What kind of thoughts am I thinking? Because a lot of us are getting a result we don't like, and I would be willing to just propose that if you backtrack it, it's a mental deception. Satan has spoken lies into your inner ear, and you've begun to believe them. And he keeps saying them and saying them and saying them. They don't like you. They don't want you there. You're a this. You're a that. You'll never. And all the limitations that he is speaking into your mind, and they can sound oh so convincing. And if we allow those to take root, we begin to say those things in our minds. And then when we begin to say those things in our minds, we begin to believe those things in our hearts. And when we have the belief in our heart that this is just who I am, we have stopped the greatest tool that God has given us, the strength and the power of a mind that can actually have the mind of Christ. And it can sort out all things. Amen. Let's look at what the scripture says. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. And this is what we're going to do. So when I start taking inventory, I'm trying to identify my old self, and which is being corrupted by what? There it is. Deceit. To be made new. Watch this. What are we going to do? We're going to be made new in the attitude of our mind. So here's the Apostle Paul who's simply saying, like, look, let's identify the old me. Let's identify the way of life that I don't want to, like, I don't want to be that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to feel that anymore. And I'm just telling you, like, I didn't expect to say all this, but I'm just telling you that I'm probably over the top. People accuse me all the time of obsessive compulsive behavior, and I think it's true. I do, actually. And so I have obsessive compulsive, like, actions and thoughts. And I'm just telling you right now that I keep real, real, real close to me who I used to be. Because when I look at him, it motivates me to have a change in the attitude of my mind. Now, maybe that would be a bad idea for you, but it actually really works for me. I just keep the Josh I can't stand where I can see him real clearly. And I'm like, uh-uh. No. I won't have a bad attitude. That's not who I am. I won't be short-tempered. It's not who I am. I won't be overly competitive, in Jesus' name. That's not who I am, right? We're working on things. And I'll keep the Josh that, I'll keep the Josh that people didn't want around them, around me, so that I can know what not to do, because I will not be him anymore. So I take the inventory seriously, and I look for, what things am I believing about me that aren't in line with the mind of Christ Jesus for me? And I just want to lift the lid. I say this all the time. I will die a student. Amen. I will learn until, when I stop learning, I'd like to stop breathing. Amen. All right. I'm just letting you into my headspace. This stuff means a lot to me. All right. Number two. So the first thing we're going to do is take inventory. I'm going to think about what I think about. And I'm encouraging you to take time, do this. Write some stuff down, however you do. Some of you are journalers, and some of you just mental process. Some of you are external processors. You might need to lock yourself in the bathroom, talk to the mirror. Whatever you got to do, let's get an inventory going. I'm going to take inventory of my thoughts. I'm going to think about what I think about. And then the second thing that we're going to do is we're going to take control of our thoughts. So I'm going to take an inventory and control. Like, no, this, I will reject every lie about me. Every single one. Here's my verse for that. I hope you got it. We're going to take control. Take control. Watch. I love this verse so much. Oh my gosh. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And some of your thinking has become a stronghold. Like, you don't have it. It has you. But because we have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us, and we've been given the mind of Christ, because Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, we have that kind of power that's in the spiritual realm that can destroy those strongholds, and then it changes. So the spiritual victory gives me like a change in my actual physical life. Amen. Verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And here it comes, my favorite part. It's like finale fireworks. Here it comes. And we take every thought captive. Every single one. To the obedience of Christ. So what is Satan saying to you that isn't true? I need to have an inventory and an understanding. I need to know, what am I thinking? What is good? And what is giving me life, and what is stealing life away? What is giving life to others, and what is stealing life away from others? What am I thinking about now that I've got the inventory and I've separated good side, bad side? I will take every one of these negative thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. I will be what Jesus has called me to be. I will walk as Jesus has called me to walk. I will do as Jesus has empowered me to do. Here's something I repeat to myself all the time, that I am mentally disciplined. I am physically disciplined. I am spiritually disciplined. So when I don't want to get out of bed in the mornings, I will say to myself, I'm physically disciplined. I'm mentally disciplined. And I'm spiritually disciplined. When I want to overeat, I am physically disciplined. I am mentally disciplined, and I am spiritually disciplined. When I'm being tempted to do things that are pulling me away from the heart of God and my call on my life, I am spiritually disciplined. I just say this over and over. Why? Because I want to renew my mind to believe that about me. That I can do it. I can wake up early. I can stay up late. I can run hard and rest deep. I can do the things that God has called me to do. I not only have the physical ability to get it done, I'm not worried about aching knees and sore shoulders and all those things. And I believe in doctors, and I'm gonna do all that stuff too. But you know what? I'm gonna begin to proclaim things that are life-giving, that I can overcome any deficiency that I have. I'm a student, and I can learn to conquer the things that I've never conquered before. Physically, I am capable, and I am able to do the things that I have been called by God to do. I have the mental capacity to learn and to absorb information and to apply it into my life and to walk into a better tomorrow than I had yesterday. I have the spiritual discipline to chase the heart of God over my natural desires and the things that the flesh wants to pull me away from, because I'm going to take thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. It's what I'm going to do, and it's who I'm going to become. And while I'm in my prime, I'm going to knock it down. And when I'm 70 years old, I'm going to go run with some bulls, everybody. I'm going to start my dirt track racing career at 80 years old. That's my plan. I talk about it to my wife all the time. You think I'm kidding? All right. We'll take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So I'm going to take an inventory of my thoughts, and then I'm going to take control of my thoughts. And then finally, and here's how we're going to close it today, is I am going to take truth to my thoughts. I've got to get the truth in my mind. I've got to get the word of God deep. The Bible says, hide his word in your heart that you might not sin against him. And there are gates in which the word of God gets deposited on the inside. And so I need to find the truth, and I need to take the truth to my thinking. Look what the Bible says. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth. Let me just clarify. This is talking about Jesus, everybody. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And now I'm referencing the Holy Bible, the Word of God. And in John chapter 1, it identifies Jesus to be the living Word of God. And so here's what we're going to do. Here's your strategy, everybody. You walk in fear all the time. You're concerned about the worst outcomes. You're 5 minutes late, he's not home from work, and you're afraid there was an accident on the interstate coming home from the office, and oh my gosh, what's happened to my husband? And you're going to say things like, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but love and power and a sound mind. You're overwhelmed at the pressure of your classes and exams and this overbearing just professor, it's making it so difficult, and you're like, I don't even know if I'm going to make it. Listen, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do this. I am going to take truth to my mind. You keep beating yourself up because you find yourself in the same repetitive pattern, and you can't stand it. You hate it. It's like, I keep coming back to this. You're going to say, if any person is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I'm taking truth to my thoughts. Here's what I'm saying to you. What does the Bible say about your situation? And I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, I don't know the Bible that well. And, you know, you're a preacher and all that. And I know you know it, but I don't know it. Listen. All right, I'm going to help you, because if we want to know anything about anything, what do we do? Yeah, say it real loud.
Google.
All right, we Google it. That's what we do. It's what we do. So here's the help. Are you ready? You might say, Bible verses about fear, enter. You might say, scriptures about freedom. Scriptures about healing. Scriptures about mental freedom. Like type it in. And then listen to me carefully. Find out what the Bible says about it. You don't need the interpretation of some person out there. No, no, no. What does the Holy Bible say? That's what I need to be thinking. That's the truth that I need to be taking to my thoughts right there. And what I would encourage you to do is put a postcard on the mirror. Write it in lipstick. Put them in your car. Hide Bible verses all around you. Put it in the top drawer of the desk at the office. Post it on the side of the monitor there. What I used to do, I remember doing this a lot when I was in high school. I wanted to get the Word of God hidden in my heart. I would write scriptures on cue cards. I would fold them and put them in my pocket because I put my hands in my pockets all the time. It was the worst part about being in the Army Sergeant Legacy. We could never put our hands in our pockets. Drive me crazy. Like, I'd be like, well, why did you put them here? Anyway, I digress. It was just, my mind couldn't understand why I couldn't put my hands in my pockets in the Army, but I like putting my hands in my pockets. And so what I would do is I would just put the truth on a little card, a piece of paper, and I'd stick it in my pocket. And here was my rule. Every time my hand goes into my pocket and I feel it, I'm gonna pull it out and I'm gonna read it. And I did that all the time, all the time. Some of you guys are way more technological than that, and it's just reminders on your phone. I've got friends that have reminders sent to them every single morning that speak life to them. Every single day. One of my friends says, man, some of the things that you might even say in a message, he showed me one the other day that's like 3 years old. Like, you said this statement. I'm like, I don't even remember that. Well, it ministered to me, and my phone reminds me every day. What are we gonna do? I'm gonna take inventory. I'm gonna think about what I think about. And then I'm gonna take control. I take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And then I'm gonna take truth to every deception that the enemy is trying to create a limitation on my mindset that's gonna hinder me from going where God wants me to be. Because I do have the mind of Christ, and I will become all that he calls me to be. And for me to be a good steward of my thinking, then I need to fight against deception. Amen, everybody? I'm gonna close this right here. Last verse of the day is this verse right here. 2 Corinthians 5:17, some of you need it. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become what? A new person. We renew your mind, right? And the old life is gone and a new life has begun. Every head bowed, please, every eye closed, nobody looking around, just for a few moments. I wanna make an invitation. I've been doing this a lot recently. I'd like to do it again. I'm going to pray two times. And the first prayer is for those of us in this room tuning in online that were followers of Jesus. And I want to pray the application of today's message into our lives, because some of us, we are struggling with that old person. So I just want to pray for you. So Father, I pray for every one of us walking with Jesus. You are our Lord and our Savior. Father, here's what we know is that our mind is the battlefield in our lives. And what we know is that the enemy, Satan, wants to only speak lies and deception into our minds. So Father, I just pray today for every one of us that you would help us, Lord God, to take a good inventory, to begin to identify those lies, to identify the life-giving things that are true about us that you say and the lies that the enemy would say. Help us to steward our minds by taking a good inventory. Help us, Lord God, to then take control of our minds, to steward our minds by taking control, Lord God, we pray, of those negative thoughts, and we take them to the obedience of Christ, I pray. And then, Father, help us to grow and to stretch and to be students and to find the truth. What is the truth? What do you say about us? What's the Word say about us as sons and daughters of the Most High King? How can we walk in freedom and steward our minds by taking truth to our thoughts? And I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us, Lord God, to do that so that we can be renewed and find your perfect plan for us. Amen. Now, every head still bowed, every eye still closed, please, just another moment. Some of us in this room, we've never made a decision to follow Jesus. Maybe you're tuning in online, listening to a podcast later, but you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. Well, this is your moment. This is it. This is the time in which you can make that decision. I just believe that the Holy Spirit of God has already been working on your heart. That's the part I can't do. That's the part that only He can do. What I can do, though, is guide you. So the Bible says if we believe in our hearts, which I think is already happening, and then we make a confession with our mouth that we'll be saved. And so I just want to help you with that confession part. And so, church, you know how we do it. I always ask everybody in the room to repeat this prayer after me, because I believe there may be somebody saying it for the very first time. So here's our prayer. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen." Come on, let's put our hands together and congratulate those that made that decision, whether you're in this room or tuning in online. Congratulations. I'm going to ask everybody just to hang tight. Even if you're online, hang with us as we get our hearts prepared to receive communion here in just a couple of moments.
Thanks to my co-anchors, even though they kicked me out, I'm back. Thank you, Pastor Josh, for that message today. That was awesome. Today, we celebrate each of you who prayed that prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Prayer is a priority at Church on the Rock. We've seen bodies healed, marriages restored, addictions broken, and many other amazing answers to prayer. Whether you are just learning or you are a seasoned prayer warrior, join us, please, on Tuesday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. for an inspiring message, worship music, and a powerful prayer time. Church, we would love to hear from you. On your connection card, there's a place for you to let us know you begin a relationship with Christ, renewed your commitment to Christ, or you can check the box if you would like to be baptized. Also on the connection card, you will find a portion for your prayer request. Fill that out and drop it along with your connection card in the boxes at the back. Or if you prefer, you can fill out our digital connection card found on our website at cotr.live. We want to help you take your next step. And by doing this, we have a way to reach out to you. We just want to say thank you, church, for being so generous in the way that you give. Your generosity makes an impact in eternal ways. If you are a guest, please don't feel any pressure to give. But if you call Church on the Rock home, we ask that you give with a cheerful heart. And thank you so much for your desire to help us move the mission that God has called us to forward. Now, church, please prepare your hearts for communion.
Morning, church. It is good to see you all from up here again. My name is Anthony, and I have the privilege of being your brother in Christ. Amen. It is so good to be here, for communion. Love the way you planned it perfectly, this whole idea of our thoughts, right? And communion, God just plans these things out, right? Communion is about remembering, right? Putting our thoughts back where they need to be. As the Bible says, you know, as often as you take communion, which doesn't mean the fourth Sunday of every month at Church on the Rock, but as often as you break bread and drink, right, we remember what Jesus did for us. And I was way ahead of you, actually. This morning, I Google searched Bible verses about communion. So it works. I'm telling you, it works. Let me just show you this. No, it was a couple days ago. But I want to read this to you. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, and while I'm reading this, you can go ahead and get your communion cups out. You can peel that plastic layer back, peel the foil layer, go ahead and get yourselves prepared. If you need one, just give a little wave. Our ushers are here. They can get you those. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read this. "For this is what the Lord himself said, and I pass it on to you just as I received it. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and you, sealed by the shedding of my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So for those of us who call Jesus our Lord and Savior, this is a time for us to remember. Remember that moment when Jesus came into your heart, when you received the power of the Holy Spirit and you were made new. That's what we're doing. In a couple weeks, I'll have the privilege to lead chapel at my kids' school. And these are the verses that they asked me to share on. And I want to share it with you in Galatians 4:4. It says, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because you Gentiles have become his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into your hearts. And now you can call God your dear father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, everything he has belongs to you. This is what we remember. God was willing to send his son, Jesus. Jesus was willing to leave his throne. The Holy Spirit is willing to live inside of me, this broken, messed up guy, trying to find the right path, trying to think the right thoughts. They were willing to do that, right? And where it says God adopted us, other translations say that he chose us. He chose you. This is what we remember. But going back to 1 Corinthians, Paul continues in verse 27. He says, so if anyone eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily, that person is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup unworthily, not honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That can feel a little bit heavy, but I just want to take a moment, about 30 seconds. We're just going to be silent. And I just want you to examine your heart. Like scripture says, we're going to examine our hearts. Are we right with those around us? Our husbands, wives, children, employers, employees, strangers on the street, that guy driving in traffic next to you this morning, right? Where are our hearts? And then ultimately, are we right with God? Do we have peace in that relationship? Do we have a relationship? Those are the questions. So let's take about 30 seconds and examine our hearts. Heavenly Father, we come before you so thankful that despite how often we mess up, no matter how bad we think we've done it, Jesus, you choose us every time. You're always there waiting for us. I pray for each of us, Lord, that you would bring to mind areas of our lives where maybe we aren't right with you. We need to get back right with you. Areas where we might not be right with our brothers or our sisters, our own family members that we live with. God, maybe we're letting something just sit and fester and we're not actually allowing you into that thing. Bring that to our hearts. Bring that to our minds, Jesus. We want to invite you into that. Amen. So now, church, if you'll take that bread, I like to break that little wafer there. We're reminded of Jesus's body that was broken for us. This cup of juice simply reminding us of one of the greatest things ever done. Jesus's blood shed for each of us, for you, for me, for those before us and those who will come after us. Jesus chose us. So Jesus, we choose to remember today that your body was broken for us, that your blood was shed for us. You may take the elements. Trash cans will be at the back when you leave. But church, would you go ahead and stand with me as we pray and exit this morning? Heavenly Father, thank you so much again that you are willing to send Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, that we could be saved, that we could have eternal life. God, not just once we die, but you came that we may have life now and have it to the fullest. That's what we want, Jesus. We want all of you. We want all of you. So I thank you for each and every person here. God, those who made a commitment to you for the first time or recommitted to you, Jesus. I thank you again for communion, a chance to remember. As we have this Thanksgiving week, a time to remember how thankful we are for all that you did for us. Father, we love you. We praise you. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray all of these things. Amen. Amen. Church, have a great Sunday. We'll see you next week.